Great. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm humbled to follow the great speakers because I'll definitely be borrowing some of your frameworks and concepts in my talk. So I want to talk a little bit about the work we've been doing on early detection of breast cancer using AI. And really our motivation here is that we want to give every woman a better fighting chance against breast cancer. And we do that through screening. But maybe before I dive in, I want to start with a visual. I'm very computer vision expert, very visual person. So let's start there. And this is a story of a specific case that was given to us by the professor who actually invented breast cancer screening, Professor Laszlo Tabar. And this was one of his hardest cases. This is a woman who actually ended up dying because of breast cancer. But she could have been saved if her cancer was diagnosed earlier and detected earlier. And basically the what you see here on the left, this is a very difficult case because it's a very dense breast. But Mia, our technology, found this cancer in the scan that the radiologist detected in, but also the scan 2 years prior and the interval before that. So this woman could have received treatment 4 years before the actual detection. So the way that we think about cancer is it's an information problem. And along the entire cancer pathway, there are plenty of information problems. Can we detect the cancer in the first place? How do you diagnose and stage? What is the best treatment plan? And even when you're doing the treatment, how do you know that the treatment is has a high efficacy in? Because you need to keep doing the check-ins going on and on. And then at some point, this person is maybe healthy again, but then you start again from back because the cancer can reoccur, et cetera. So we thought, okay, let's start at the start of this funnel, which is detection, because that's step number one. You need to detect the cancer before you can do anything else. And we started with breast cancer screening, and I'll borrow David's framework here. The reason why we started with breast cancer screening is because it's very, very well defined. It's one of the best defined screening programs we have today. Who do we screen? Women between the ages of 50 and 75, maybe some countries 45, but it's at least very well defined. How do we screen? Mammography every 2 or 3 years, but it's imaging based. And what do we look for? Very well defined. How you then treat that, that's a question for later. But we thought if we want to introduce AI into clinical workflow, let's try and keep everything else as much as possible the same and help really where the need is. And the big problem breast cancer screening is there's a huge workforce crisis. I mean, nobody will be surprised to hear that the NHS has a workforce crisis, but this is actually from a couple of days ago. The Royal College of Radiologists every year publishes a report about the workforce. And this year the report said it's a ticking time bomb. There's already 30% of a shortfall in clinical radiologists is going to increase to 40%. 50% of the vacancies are open for more than 12 months. And at the moment, we're spending $250 million a year just to pay for overtime and outsourcing. We're flying Dutch radiologists from the Netherlands for a weekend of breast cancer screening, pay them 4 or 5 times what we pay an NHS radiologist. And at some point, this is going to fall apart. And this is where we believe AI can help. So again, an example, essentially what Mia does is because the breast cancer task for radiologists is so well-defined, we want to focus on solving exactly that task. And it's a binary question. The radiologist needs to answer the question, should we call back this woman back for further examination? Yes or no? There's no diagnosis here. This is detection. So is there a cancer here? Yes or no? And that's an easy question in the vast majority of the cases, because this is a low prevalence regime. 1% of women in a screening population has breast cancer. The other 99% are healthy. And maybe 10% of those are the hard cases. And those are the ones that matter. So on the left side is an example of a very difficult positive. The doctor missed it and Mia found it. But actually, when you ask a screening radiologist, they get excited about, show me the difficult negatives, because these are the ones that lead to high false positive rates. To show me that you can work well on those. So this is a case where actually the doctors called this back because they thought there's a cancer here, or at least it's too difficult. Let's do some follow-up imaging. And Mia correctly said, no, this is fine, this is healthy. By doing that task, we thought, okay, how can you actually bring AI into the workflow in the most natural way? And because we do the task, the same task that the radiologist does, we can be very flexible in our workflow. So on the top left corner, you see the current standard of care, which is double reading. So every mammogram is read by two radiologists. When they agree with each other, great, you do whatever they agree on. When they disagree, you call in an arbitrator radiologist. This is incredibly wasteful workflow because, as I said earlier, these two radiologists agree on the 90% of cases that are easy. And that's almost 2 million women per year, every year, that are read by two radiologists. Those are the easy cases. Where we want to get to is a scenario where Mia becomes one of those readers, because then we can save 50% of all the reads all in one go. We also identify that actually when you add another arbitration step, we can increase the cancer detection rate. And that's something that we're now starting to see the clinical evidence of. We tested that in Hungary, that was picked up by New York Times. And this is something that we believe can be introduced in the NHS in a very sort of low risk way. That's essentially the workflow at the top right, because we're not changing the standard of care here. You still have the two human radiologists and loop. There's still an arbitrator. We just add Mia as an additional step. And that can at least help identify some cancers earlier. So getting AI into clinical practice is hard, very, very hard. I think we've had some success getting it there. There's still a long road ahead, but where we are today, we won one of the UK government's AI awards to get Mia adopted in the NHS. It's already being used in Aberdeen as a service evaluation. We're starting one of the first UK prospective studies, and we're currently deploying in 15 screening units, which is the equivalent of 25% of UK screening volume. So by the end of the year, we want to be screening 500,000 women per year in the UK to try and help find their cancers earlier. We talked about this a little bit in previous chats, but its generalizability is key, and making sure that Mia works for every woman everywhere in an unbiased way is super important for us. So one, basically what we mean by generalizability is when you develop an AI model, you do that on a data set, but really what you want is that the AI works well on future data that you haven't seen before. Now, the problem becomes if you train your AI on a very biased data set or a small data set that's not representative of the general population, then your AI will not generalize. So what we did early on is build one of the largest data sets in breast cancer screening. That's a grind. It took a lot of work, a lot of collaborations, but essentially we optimized for not having the largest data set necessarily, but also one of the most diverse data sets. So our data comes from the UK, Europe, Asia, South America, North America, different genetic makeups, different hardware devices with different post-processing softwares, even different screening programs, because the kind of screening program that you have in a country, whether it's a one-year interval or three-year interval, will determine the distribution of the sizes of cancers, which in turn can determine your the performance of your models. Hence, all these factors that you need to take into account when you build your data set. It's a lot of hard work, and at the moment, I think that's the way you have to do it. So we showed the results on a very large retrospective study, 275,000 cases, unenriched. So we did not sub-sample the data set. We just sampled everyone in the data set, including those cases where you don't yet have the follow-up. And this is very important, because how do you know whether your AI is right in predicting cancer? You need to know whether the end outcome was cancerous or not. The problem is in breast cancer screening, there's a delay in those outcomes, because biopsy results typically take a couple of months to get. And in order to truly be able to say that the cancer is negative, you need to wait for the next screening interval to find that negative case. But that means there's always a set of cases where you do not have ground truth. That means you can't ignore those cases, because these are still part of your data distribution. So those we've all left in. And we've done this across a number of different countries. As I said, the key is that we build AI that works for every woman everywhere. Specifically, an area of focus for us is breast density. So breast density is actually a risk factor. African-American women have a slightly higher risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer. And we are working specifically with Emory University, which we selected for this reason, because they have a large African-American population. And we're now testing how well the AI generalizes, and those first results are looking good. Now, the story doesn't end when the AI is deployed. That's actually just the beginning. We've done all the academic and clinical validation, but what do you do when the AI is actually there? AI and data are not stationary. It changes all the time. Data changes all the time. And those changes in the data might affect how your AI performs. And that's not necessarily a problem as long as you can monitor this and act on it. So an interesting example was for us was COVID, because we were already running live before the pandemic. And then one day to the next, the NHS decided to stop screening for breast cancer. Now, when you stop screening women, that doesn't mean that their cancer stops growing. So a couple of months later, when screening programs got reopened, we noticed that our AI started behaving differently. It started calling back more women, not just us, but also the radiologist. And that was completely natural to us because the cancers had more time to grow and the distribution had changed. The cancers were now bigger, and we could actually detect that with our monitoring. So an AI system is more than just an AI model. It is a system that consists of the model itself, hardware to do the inference, but also modules around the model that help you detect, is this data representative of the data that I trained it on? Are the outputs along the lines of what I expect? And are there other kind of models that we can put in place that help detect with drift or bias or quality of the image? And just one of those examples of monitoring tools that we have built is we noticed that one specific hospital overnight reported a completely different change in the number of cancers a number of women that was called back. And then we went back and we realized, hey, did something change on this date? And the hardware vendor for this hospital had upgraded their post-processing software. And they hadn't told the radiologist and the hospital about this. We told the radiologist, hey, something has changed. Now, the tools that we build, we could basically recalibrate the model quite quickly. And as you see in the slide, we got back to the same level of performance very quickly. But you need to be aware of every step between the image acquisition and the data before it goes into your model. And anything that can affect that, you need to be able to monitor. And this is not a problem that's unique to us. We tested the same model on histopathology, and luckily this transferred. But being able to detect changes to the data or your model in real time is absolutely critical to make sure that we keep deploying AI safely. So where are we now? I think there's a lot of evidence right now that in our specific use case, AI works well. But again, bringing this into in clinical practice is hard. There's no clear path to adoption at the moment. And that's this is a multidisciplinary problem. This is not just a technical problem to be solved. There is a question, okay, who pays, what's the health economic benefit, et cetera. And that's sort of our next set of challenges. Thank you very much.